celebrating the world's best dabs.
Son, this is whiskey. Try some.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
What are you doing?
Nothing, honey.
Sure, Dad may forget birthdays, graduations, even your fourth grade piano recital. But he'll never forget to tell you.
You're doing that wrong. No, I'm not, Dad.
Yes, you are.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. What is happening, man? I am your host, JP. Joining us, as always, is the not-so-bald these days, Nick Martin. How are you, sir?
What's up? I know I got to get a razor out and fix this bad boy. How's it going?
Good, man. Good to have you on, as always. Well, not have you on. You're a co-host. You kind of, you know.
Yeah, I kind of founded this with you.
Your son's the CEO of the Dadcast. Exactly. We are joined today by our very special guest. He has appeared on not only The Voice in America. He's been on The Voice in, well, South America, Latino, somewhere down there. He is an editorial photographer at the likes of Maxim magazine. He is a musician. He is a rock star. He is, and most importantly, a dad around these parts. Welcome to Dadcast, Manny Cabo. How are you, sir?
Well, it's a lot of fanfare for a bald guy, I got to tell you. But yeah, I mean, it's great being here. Thank you, guys. I'm really humbled that when you guys call me Beyond Here. It's just a small world, you know, to the story that we talked about. You guys just interviewing Brian. I'm like, wait a second. I think I know those guys, you know, fellow podcasters. So it's pretty cool. So thank you.
You're welcome, man. We're stoked to have you aboard. So the next hour, we are going to discuss all things Dad and Manny Cabo. And we know that today is an incredibly big day in the world of you, because you have dropped your latest single. Literally today, when we're recording this podcast, how has that whirlwind been, man?
You know, being an artist nowadays, it's a struggle to begin with. For myself, it's been a really, really difficult 4 months. Quite frankly, if you were to call me 2 months ago, I would have said no. I took three and a half months off because I just lost my dad to COVID December 1st. So I'm still suffering that huge void, brother, to be all honest. And it's almost like I've been playing catch up for those 3 months because, you know, granted, I had to mourn. I had to take a step back. I have family to take care of. There's certain priorities that start settling in, right? But then when you finally get back to everything, you have this pile of to-dos that have, you know, that have since then piled and piled and piled. But right now with the single, that's been full force. We're really proud of it. I have some incredible heavy hitters on there, including, you know, multiple Grammy award-winning engineer Earl Cohen's on there. Will Ellis from Montgomery Gentry played drums on that. Chip Martin, who's worked with the Eagles, and so many people. And of course, my co-writer, Bonnie Warren, who's a multiple award-winning writer out of Philadelphia, who's proximate distance from here, maybe about an hour. And we're really excited. This is going to be one of those songs that finally got my rock roots back. If you're into like Elton John, if you're into the Black Crowes, Aerosmith, then you're really going to dig this song. And it's a really powerful message, guys, seriously. I wanted to get it out there because we all deserve more love in this world. You know, speaking from a dad, my daughter's everything to me, but we all deserve more love. And you never settle until you find the love that reciprocates what you're willing to put out there. So that's a huge message. And of course, dominantly, it's catered toward women from my male side, but it's for everybody to really dissect those lyrics and respect themselves, you know, and always expect the best. That's predominantly why I did. I'm all about love and peace, brother. You know, I'm a Generation X baby. So
yeah, it's all about so love early. And peace.
Man, you know what I'm saying?
You are not a man, I can tell, that has a lack of words. And I appreciate that, you being on the podcast. Let me throw this out there since you brought it up.
Sure.
I had no idea, man. Condolences on the loss of your father.
Yeah,
I lost mine 11 years ago. And it's...
It never gets easier, right?
Talk about it, and I don't know if that picks it up, but I'm just I'm getting the chills even discussing it.
Yeah, I passed away 2 years ago, so I get it, man.
It's one of those things that it never goes away, and as fresh as it is for you, the only solace I can give is that the pain never goes away, but it definitely numbs. And somewhere down that path, it's different for everyone. It's going to shift for you into this beautiful memory. You know, remembrance and everything, it'll get better. I promise you.
Well, here's the thing. Again, full disclosure, because I'm really upfront about my life. You know, I don't have any hesitation. My dad was the reason why, A, I became anything artistically. You know, a photographer, he's the one who put a camera in my hand. He's the one who introduced me to the drum roll. He's the one who introduced me to the Beatles and the Motown sound. So it's really difficult because everything revolving around my industry reminds me of him. Therein lies the secret to my pain. But on a lighter note, I keep his legacy alive. And this, what I'm doing, going on your podcast, talking to other dads, sharing my story so people could empathize with my pain, is something that helps me continue his legacy. Because he's the one who told me, man, if you're going to do something, then surround yourself with people better than you, that appreciate you, that can bring you up higher, but also be kind to people. It doesn't cost you anything. So that's what I'm trying to spread in my music, in my artistry. I help everyone around me because for me, a collective gain is gratifying for me. If I can help you grow your show, if it helps me grow my show, if we all win, I'm part of it. If it doesn't do anything good for no one, then I just don't waste my time. And that's always been my creed. And thanks to my dad, that's why it's such an impetus for me to say, yes, dude, I'm going on your show. Let's have some fun. Because A, I need all the fun that I can get. Because I've been working nonstop,
right? 20 hours.
And to talk to two other gentlemen who've experienced what I did and are also dads, dude, this is like a no-brainer. Plus, I got my bourbon, so I'm not going anywhere.
You guys, buddy, I wish I had some bourbon. Nick quit drinking. Yeah. I'm taking a break. Again, we have no idea why. There's no rhyme or reason to the fact. We discussed it on a couple episodes ago. I went to Florida a couple weeks ago, took the lady down to Hollywood and for St. Patrick's Day, and the Jameson was flowing. And
Irish. Maybe it's your liver trying to contact you. So listen to your liver.
It could be, but I before that day, I hardly drank for the few months prior, and it just wasn't as fun for me as it went along. Right. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need this for now. We're going to quit for a bit.
You're better off, bro. I'll just drink for you.
Please, two or three. Unless we ever hang out in person, then the bourbon's flowing, baby. The bourbon's flowing. Manny, tell us about you and your fatherhood. How many kids do you have? I picked up, you said you had a daughter. Is that it?
Yeah, I have a daughter who's 15 going on 30. You know how that goes.
Oh, my God. Mine's 16 going on like 80. She's already passed all that. She's, she knows everything.
Cured already.
No, she's not cured by any means.
I will tell you this, you know, in all honesty, I've had some accolades. I've also had some hardships. But when you, in hindsight, everything is 20/20. I realized the one thing that I did right is have my kid. That's the only thing. You know, I've done a lot of things, but if you woke me up in the middle of the night and you said, Manny, what's the one thing that you don't regret at all? My daughter. And, you know, and every day I look at her, it's a solid reminder that, you know what, I did something right. And that kind of balances out all the cursing and the trials and tribulations that I've had in my life, you know, because I look at her and now she's into being an athlete. She just picked up a volleyball 2 months ago and she's a freshman in high school. I've been an athlete all my life, got drafted to play pro baseball the whole nine. So I've always been part of that collective unit. And I just really, I'm trying to talk quietly so she doesn't hear. I always want her to experience that. Well, you can tell, right? You can tell I'm a dad right now. You, this is like foolproof.
Yeah. Go, baby, go. Keep going.
Right. So, and I always wanted to experience that, the world of athletes, because, you know, when you join a team, it's so different. One fails, you all fail, and you're only as strong as your weakest link. So I'm glad that finally she picked up a volleyball. She's won 6 games in a row. She became an MVP. So I'm really, really proud of that. I can honestly say, wow, me and my wife look at each other. I'm like, she's playing smart, you know, and I'm like, we're like, I just want to do like a James Hetfield, like, never be embarrassed. But it's a cool feeling. My daughter's an incredible feeling of elation. And, you know, I'm just trying to be a dad. And the only thing I can do is serve as an inspiration. You know, you have to lead by example. I don't let her see me drink. I don't let her see me do the things that I wouldn't want her to do, at least now at this age. You know, I always encourage her every single day. I appreciate her. Never spanked my kid. I never really believed that, although I got my ass kicked when I was young. I turned out to be okay, I think. But, you know, it's a different time, you know, and especially dads and their daughters. You have to be really sensitive and learn how to talk to your daughter. Not that you shouldn't talk to your son the same way. It's all the same, but you know, there's a special bond and a special line. You know, do you have a daughter? Or I never asked you.
We Nick and I, this topic comes up almost every episode with every guest we have.
Well,
how amazingly different raising a boy to a girl, and I have both. I got two girls. I got one boy, and one of those girls is 16, going on 80, and she's entered that whole, basically, I hate you guys. Don't talk to me. I know everything, and it's difficult. And then you've got baby girl who is looking up to big sister, who still loves daddy so much, but sees the interaction between the two, and then just is confused, like, why is she so mad at you? I don't get it. I love you so much. You're amazing, but why is she angry? It's just, oh, baby girl, you'll get there. just you wait.
You know what they say, bro? Better you than me, bro.
Well, you should talk to Nick, you know, and again, every episode, the count goes up. He's sitting at 200 kids now.
I gotta commend you guys. You guys are so efficient to it. From the moment, from the inception of our first phone call, and then you're like, Nick's gonna get out to you. You reached out to me. This is kudos to you guys, because you know, I totally appreciate that. People don't even read emails, and you guys are following up, send me this, and I'm sending you the videos. So it's been a really pleasant process. So that's no wonder why you guys are doing so well. So kudos to both of you guys. You guys work really, really well together.
Well, thank you. It's, I don't call Nick tenacious for no reason.
Boy, Nick.
Yeah, big goals, man. Big goals.
There you go.
Oh, man.
You know what they say? Nick is a jerk name, believe it or not. I read about it because I wanted to name my kid Nico if it was a boy. And they're like, don't name it Nick. Nicks are usually jerks.
Oh, so thank God it isn't Brad.
Oh, yeah.
No offense to any Brads out there, but yeah. Well, I got stuck with Jeffrey. I mean, that is literally my real name, Jeffrey. And ever since that damn movie came out where they were smoking Jeffreys, that's why we went with JP.
You're done.
I'm just JP now.
For life.
That is it.
Yeah, you're labeled for life. Yeah, man. But I just needed to state that, man. So I appreciate that.
No, thank you, man. You know, it's every step we take is a step up. And again, we are not into this as a hobby. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. It can be a hobby, but it is, we want to rule the world, to be perfectly honest, in a good way.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of work.
And it's only getting more.
And you know, what's funny, that's why I love, one of the rules of being a successful podcaster, and I teach this a lot, and we're on Clubhouse and doing a lot of rooms, and you know, the best way to do it is to get on other people's podcasts, but not just everybody, you know, try to be in alignment with other people's interests and something that really appeals to you.
Yeah.
Hey, dad, of course, you know, that's definitely going to appeal to me because I'm always learning. And you will always learn as a dad, because things come up sporadically that just blow my mind. But as a fellow podcaster, you know, getting the interviews, writing the scripts, emailing people, like both of you guys, at least there's two of you. I'm trying to do everything myself and doing my releases and photographing my album cover. And trying, you know, it's just a lot of work.
You write scripts?
I do. I write scripts.
One of our rules, I'm not even kidding, and it may change. Yeah. We fly by the seat of our pants, man. I mean, we have an idea. We know who's coming on and what that person is doing. But as scripting in the podcast, you're talking movie scripts.
I write scripts initially, because what I do is I preface each episode with tips that have helped me throughout my journeys of whether it's songwriting, whether it's being on stage. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by script is I just write bullet points.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I don't derail. So if I tell you, you know, how to be a dad, I'm going to write 10 bullet points and just feed off that list. But when we're live with my guests, it's like you guys, it's organic, because then it's not believable. It's not fun, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I think we tried the first episode or the second episode or whatever, having like a list of questions, and it didn't work. It was like,
Yeah, it doesn't seem real. You're right. But man, this is great.
Do you live near a beach?
I live about an hour away from the Jersey Shore.
Shore.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to say, you know, the girl 15 volleyball, you know, the Olympic sand, you know, taken to the beach and start practicing the sand, man, that could be, you know, a gold medal in your future.
Right. I read about that today. That's, you know, it's funny, but you know, great minds think alike. I'm like, you know, the little light bulb goes on, like, bing, uh-huh.
What is she good at? What can I get proud for?
Right. Exactly.
So how is
it's true?
So she was, I mean, you did the voice. What's 6 years ago now?
It was 2015. Yeah, it's crazy. Right. Time goes by. Yeah. It was about five years ago. And then Lavos 2 years ago.
All right. So your daughter is then 9 years old, give or take, when you are rising to that level of fame. I mean, was there a lot of away time? I mean, you traveling to do shows and whatnot, and like mom, or were you there most of the time as dad?
No, that was a great question. You know, I've always been there for my daughter. You know, fortunately for me, I had the opportunity. I left the full-time corporate world to become a freelancer in music and photography. So while I was on The Voice, yeah, there were sporadic trips back and forth. I was gone for 3-4 weeks at a time. Then I would fly back. So it wasn't like I was out there for months, but although it did feel that way because you're literally cooped up in a hotel. Mm-hmm. And then you've got paparazzi flying around because everyone's looking to see who the contestants are. Then after you get 4 chairs, you know, you get a little bit of acclaim. Everyone's like, who's this fanny guy? And it's not for them. I will tell you that. My wife and my daughter are so reticent and so timid where I'm like, I need to be in every, you know, I need to be in like everybody's face, you know, totally like night and day. So, but fortunately, yeah, to answer your question, I was always there for them, you know, whether it was a phone call away. Now, thank God, with the advent of technology and FaceTime, it's really, really cool. Yeah, so it worked out well. Yeah, awesome. Right.
And I forgot. I got to throw out my lady. She wanted to send a message to you, and it's like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of way. I'm sending you a virtual hug from my lady to you.
Oh, dude, bring it. Bring it.
But there's a second part because you hugged Adam Levine.
Wait a minute.
There's always a I'm sorry, but I had to drop it. But here's the hug from me, bro hug right there, if that helps.
I will take it, bro. I'll take it.
Tell us about your
cool guy.
Tell us about your podcast.
It's called Mojo for Musicians. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, since we're like,
I felt like there was a delay. I didn't want to jump over.
That's the Zoom. It's the Zoom connection.
Yeah.
You always have to like, okay, answer the question.
Tamsin.
Pause a second. Okay, go.
Dude, it's so great because you only talk this way when you talk with other fellow podcasters, and they understand the etiquette. They're like, let me talk it. They already know. They're just going to sit back and be in silence. Like, and then somebody who doesn't know, like, why are you so quiet?
Right.
Oh, I get it now.
And then there's 3 seconds. There's a horrible pregnant pause. Oh, crap. I got to. All right. Let me repeat the question.
Right. Pregnant pause. I love that. I got to use that. But, yeah, my podcast is called Mojo for Musicians, and it's essentially a podcast that's catered to all the musicians, especially during these crazy times, because the music industry has sucked for 20 years. I'm sorry. I call it as I see it. It's the truth, and every musician out there will tell me the same, you know, in terms of how we make our royalties. Growing up, there were so many questions that were unanswered that I could not find the answers to until I actually got to that level. I was touring. I was writing songs, collaborating, the whole nine. So I essentially share all of my journeys with Grammy award-winning producers. My vocal coach, I just dropped my latest episode today, which is Deborah Birch. She was Kelly Clarkson's coach, Daughtry's coach, David Cook's coach, Jennifer Hudson's coach, and she coached me. So those journeys have a lot of juicy detail, and I share that with everybody just to help them alleviate the hardships. Don't do it that way because it's not going to work. Do it this way. I have a proven track record, and I take their verbal accounts and share it with my listeners. That's essentially it, because there's nothing worse for me than seeing an amazing musician quit on their dreams because the industry dictates that they're not good enough, or they become insecure, or lose their loved ones like myself. Nonsense. That's just excuses. They're limiting beliefs that we instill in ourselves. And I'm like, get over that. Get over yourselves. Get rid of the ego. Put it in your pocket. If it's something that you love, you guys love podcasting with that. If it's something you love, then do it, bro. Life is short. My dad taught me after he died, I want to make sure that I never live that woulda, coulda, shoulda life. I don't want to live in regret. I'm doing everything. I don't care if I got to work 26 hours a day. Notice I added 2 extra hours there. If I got to work 26 hours a day, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to live in regret because my dad, I don't want his passing to be in vain. And there's a lot of good that I want to do in this world. There's a lot of fun that I need to share, like with you guys right now. I live in the moment. Like right now, this is the most important thing in the world for me right now, being on the Dadcast. When I'm done with you guys, being with my daughter for 20 minutes. When I'm done doing and writing a script, that'll be important. People need to compartmentalize their lives and focus on the now, because the best way to predict your future is to get off your ass and work hard now. That's the reality of life. Everyone wants to be famous, but nobody wants to do the work, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not looking to be famous. I'm not. Mm. I mean, that's never been the goal of this podcast. Nick might tell you otherwise, but
damn it, Nick.
I'm already famous in like a 40 square mile range in Southern Oregon. I've had my fill of all the famous I need. If it goes from there, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
But just spreading this message that dads are important. And don't get me wrong, man. I'm not knocking moms. Moms have the most important job ever.
Mm. Yeah.
But dads, that's a pretty important job too. And it gets overlooked sometimes. Yeah, and we're trying to bring that back into the fold.
I think
absolutely.
That's my goal. That's what I'm looking at. Famous
is to more show my kids that if you work your ass off, like Manny was saying, you can succeed at something you love doing. You don't have to do the 9-to-5. You don't have to show up and punch a clock and sell appliances or whatever the hell you do. Right. You can do what you love and kick ass at it and make a living. So hopefully this does turn into making a living and doing what we love doing. And, you know, more dads and showing that it is awesome to be a dad. You know, there's all these like MTV's Got Teen Mom. And it's like, man, why do they push the dads to the side? My wife's a huge Teen Mom fan. It's like really, really sad.
I'm sorry, MTV, but that is garbage television.
But yeah, but why do they push the dads to the side on that show? And there's a few dads on there that are awesome.
Society. Everyone wants to see the train wreck. No one wants to see the good news these days. Yeah. Everyone's looking for the crap. Right. And
let's showcase us. Let's, you know, I love my kids. JP loves his kids. You love your kid. Let's, you know, let's showcase.
I agree. It's societal conventions, man. They impose that on society. You know, dads get a bad rap. There's a lot of dads aren't there. But here's the thing, you know, there's a balance. And I say this with a huge caveat because I'm a big female supporter. I'm not talking about the nonsense and all the you know, the women's lib stuff and the feminism. There's a huge distortion behind that. I appreciate women. I believe that they're amazing leaders. And if it wasn't for women, guys, let's be realistic, we would not be sitting here. So women have play an integral part, right? And men forget that shit. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't know if I'm supposed to curse it.
That's all right. Number one.
Oh, okay, cool. He's rubbing. He's like poking me on that. Okay, sorry.
No, man, it is okay.
First one in the first 30 seconds.
We are dads. We are dads. We are men. We are boys.
There you go.
You know, if a F-bomb happens, it's going to happen, man. There ain't no rules.
No, you know what? I try to refrain from flagrant language because, A, you know, I like to communicate without it because I don't need it. Unless I'm really adamantly trying to make a point, and even still, I second guess it. But the point I'm trying to make is I'm a big advocate for women's empowerment. And I believe that it's been a struggle for the female for so many years. And we've made it impossible, especially in the music industry. And we talked about that in so many of the rooms. And that's one of the reasons why this song is particularly huge, because I think women need to appreciate and love themselves more and never settle for less, especially that's what I'm trying to teach my daughter. You don't have to depend on a guy. As much as I love being a dad, I'm raising her to be independent and resourceful and to understand that whole concept. Because, yeah, dads get a bad rap. We really, really do. But when dads are good, they're not just good. They're great. You know, and that's what I love about this show. You're bringing this to the forefront. You're addressing that. Whoa, hey, it takes two to tango. And the dads that do stick around are really, really important. Because listen, no offense. I, as a photographer, I was photographing the gentlemen's club scene for so many years. And I got to tell you, 90% of the females, they're gorgeous, but the most insecure females on the planet had issues with their dad. They weren't around or they were physically abused. So I get it. But here's the thing. There are great dads and they need to be recognized out there. Like myself, I pride myself on being an amazing dad. You know, we really do. And I post about my daughter. I talk about my daughter. I make sure that I put her on a pedestal because dads have that responsibility. First of all, parents, if you have kids, be a parent, because so many of the issues that are happening nowadays with racism and segregation and insecurity and suicide and hate, that's on us. That's on parents. It starts at the house. And I think parents need to do a better job in terms of how they educate their kids. And this is just including the dad side, because, you know, we kind of are noticed and labeled as putting the hammer down. And there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. You know, we have to be political about how aggressive we are with this is the way you need to do things. I'm all for an open lines of communication, especially if dads have daughters. You need to be a little bit more sensitive to that side. Talking to your kid and be like, yo, knucklehead, what are you doing? You suck. You got to start working on your dribbling. You can't talk like that to a girl sometimes, you know, and I've realized that because of my own experiences. You know, I'm preaching to the choir. So there is a sense of proper delivery. And that goes with every sector of life, not just your kids, but specifically from a dad standpoint.
And that's something you need. It's a constant learning.
Yeah.
And it's a battle. Oh, I can give an example of that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give the example. I'm just saying I could. Give the example, because that's going to make JP Papa look pretty poor. But yeah,
dude, you know, I'm reading between the lines. I get it.
I said something that I wholeheartedly thought was advice and good, but oh boy, that delivery needed some work. So and then she was pissed off, and that was the end of the day. And you know,
and you're crawling back with your head between your legs.
No, because it's the stubborn Irishman in me. You know, I still fought it. No, I was right until I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's when we finally came to terms. I'm sorry. I apologized. You know, I'll work on that. But
give and take, baby.
Give and take. It's a consistent learning battle. And hopefully when the next one gets around to 16 years old, I have learned from said mistakes. And
we hope so, right?
Yeah, right. So. Manny, okay, I'm going to do something that I've never done or attempted in a podcast before.
Yes, I love
it. Can you email me literally right now your new track?
Oh, this is great.
Is that something you can do? Or you know what? You probably already have it in your Roadcaster. Throw it on one of those buttons and let's play that some bitch.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great when you do the Roadcaster? It's like you can just put it in this.
Right? Amazing. I mean, because if you email it to me, I'll have it on here in 30 seconds. But if you've already got it, I don't know. I think the quality will be a little bit better if it comes on my end. But is that something you're willing to do?
Dude, for you guys, for my fellow dads in the house, are you insane? That's like a no-brainer.
Because I'd like to listen to it right now with you.
Well, right, do me a favor. Get out of the scene, Nick. It's just, this is me and you. You're the tech guy. How do I email this to you, man?
Okay. Send it to JP.
JP
at pirateradio.com. That's PYRATE radio.
Oh, okay. Being fancy over here, making my life difficult.
The old English spelling, pirateradio.com.
Pirateradio.com.
Now there's a catch here. Not only are we going to listen to it together for the first time on podcast, I'm also going to put it in the rotation on my radio station, Pirate Radio.
Look at this. I'm humble. Now it's a definite.
I haven't even heard it yet. I haven't even heard it yet, but I'm that confident.
I listened to it this morning. It's freaking amazing. It's really good.
I just sent it to you. And we're really, really proud of it. Not because I'm a co-writer on it, but again, and I'll allude to what I said earlier before about my dad. If I'm going to do something, I make sure that I put my heart and soul, not taking anything away from other artists, but I don't rely on production to make a song great. It's all about the story. It's all about the lyrical content. I'm in that vocal booth. I can't tell you guys, full transparency, again, I can't tell you how many times I had to step out bawling in tears and crying, because every time I sing a certain line, it reminds me of my dad. It sucks, guys. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But you know what? At the same time, it brings out some great performances. You know, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of anger in this song when you hear it. And it's the message. When I'm singing it, I'm singing it to the world. And I'm singing it to everyone out there to take a step back and be like, whoa, wait a second. Am I about to make a huge mistake? And I'm just basically being your conscious, you know, that deterrent to hopefully help everyone see that they're worth more and they basically deserve more. Yeah. I just sent it to you guys. So hopefully you'll get it.
I want to go ahead and put Yahoo on notice. How dare you put Manny in a spam folder?
Oh, dear. Oh,
that's like putting baby in a corner. You don't do that.
Oh,
right. So anyway, I'm downloading it right now. You two do your thing. I don't even see what I see. Right. Okay. Here we go. Worst bad decision. Oh, I can't wait. We're getting real close.
Oh man, it's good. I even shared it on it went on my personal page this morning, but yeah, it's just good.
No, I appreciate that, guys. You know, every little bit, I'm grateful for any other, assistance that I can get from a social media standpoint. As long as people are sharing it and they're liking it. You know, I don't want people to share it if they're just going to share it. If you listen to the song, you're like, love it and you believe it, then share it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. If I don't like it, I won't share it. So,
I am too. I hate to tell you, there's a certain etiquette about it, but I'm like, I don't want to put my name on it. If it doesn't uphold the standards of what I'm used to, it is what it is. People need to hear that truth. It's like giving a trophy to a kid who's in 10th place for participation. That doesn't roll with me, bro. Your kid sucks. It sucks. And he needs to work on it. That's basically what you're supposed to tell your kid. That exactly. Life doesn't work that way, man.
No, and I think those participation trophies are creating a terrible society. bunch of lazy.
They really, really are. Yeah. Because we're endorsing mediocrity is the problem. And you can't do that because they're in for a rude awakening and a harsh reality when they delve into the real world, you know, when they start being, bro, you suck. What are you talking about? You're not good at all. Then their heart gets broken. Then they need therapy. Then they need on medication. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Back in the day, we faced reality, you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And we bet the crap out of each other in the parking lot because we had a problem with somebody. We pick up and we become best friends for the rest of our lives. And the story nowadays, everyone needs therapy. I'm like, come on, what's going on here, dude?
Right.
I don't know. I just have mixed views about everything and I see what's going on. It really, really bothers me. You know, it really truly bothers me.
The, you know, growing up in the 90s, seeing you know, your parents teach you hard work, you know, just teach you kick ass, do the right thing, work your ass off.
Right.
Go watch my kids in school now and their coaches are like, oh, hey, good job. You know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. It's like,
hurt his feelings.
He's not doing the right thing. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, you're actually doing a disservice to the kid if you're telling them that because you're blatantly lying to that kid.
Right. Or, you know, multiple chances. Like my one kid is 13 and he's kind of screws around too much and doesn't get the best grades, but his teacher is constantly like, oh, go ahead and take that test 25 times. It's cool. Yeah, eventually you'll get close enough to passing. It's like, come on, just fail.
God, I wish I had that teacher when I was growing up.
Right?
Are you kidding me? I had nuns that are ripping my face off. I thought my name was Jesus Christ after the first year, you know? Terrible.
Oh, hold on. There you go. That deserves it.
There we go.
All right. We're about 10% away, gentlemen. I'm just saying.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
So, hey, I'm going to pull up the dad. We haven't done a dad joke yet.
Oh, no. We don't need to do a dad. Okay. Okay. We can. We can.
My daughter got this for me for Christmas. We got to do this. I promised her.
Oh, okay. But for the record, let me tell a quick story before you do it. So if Manny goes back and looks at any of our old episodes and he sees when we talk about the fact we whip out the dad jokes when we start losing our guests. Okay. We ain't losing you, brother. This isn't a trying to fill time segment either. So I've said on the show many times that when we whip out that book, that's what's happening. Not the case. All right. I've said my piece, Nick. Do your thing.
You're lucky. I love dad jokes, man.
Let's be warned.
But we're gonna get to this one after I say the dad joke. We'll tell you why we're gonna write our own dad joke book.
All right, sounds good.
This book, we'll see. So are we on April 13th?
April 13th.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. My gram always supports my photography. Whenever I need something, boom, she's right there. I love my Instagram. Actually, that was actually
pretty funny. Okay.
That was actually not bad.
That is the best one so far. Now, see, every other joke that's been in this book has been cringeworthy. And we have considered writing a letter to these authors and telling them to find something better to do with their lives because this is not it. But that one,
they got participation trophies.
It was photography related. So, hey, you know, I'm endorsed.
Right, exactly. It really worked out today. So, good job.
It did. It was meant to be.
Okay. So, ready?
All right.
Nope. Let me see if this is working. Okay, good. There is something there.
All right. Yeah, there is.
All right. So it transferred. What do we got here? 41 minutes. We got plenty of time. Would you like to hype up this song once again, even though you have earlier in the podcast?
Yeah. But
Worst Bad Decision, Manny Cabo, dropping today, April 13th, 2021. Tell us about the song, and then we are going to listen to it live with you.
Awesome. Yeah, this song, first of all, thank you for playing it. And this song is essentially a powerful message. I sang it from the standpoint of a male to a female, but this applies to everybody. You know, think of me as the conscience in this song, deterring you from making that huge and toxic mistake that so many relationships delve into, basically settling for somebody who's not going to reciprocate, somebody who's just using you, somebody who's not going to uplift you to that next level, that next tier of motivation, essentially the person that you need to be with in no regards. So Worst Bad Decision is essentially that. It's a blatant title. Just don't make the biggest mistake of your life. Sometimes these mistakes are hard to walk away from. That's essentially what the message says. We all deserve more love, so don't ever settle.
All right, here we go. Worst Bad Decision, Manny Cabo.
All he does is love me. Nowhere it's hard to believe he's the kind of guy who just takes and takes and takes. Then you live with heartbreak. Come the morning, you're gonna hate him. That's who he is. And you can't change him. He's a rolling stone on a mission. You don't need his lies. Because loving in the night could be your worst bad decision. Bad decision. First words I'll say to you, you might buy and think he's cute. He'll wanna take you home and just try and try and try. Only one thing's on his mind. Wake up with the morning shame. Then it hits you in the face. He's a rolling stone on a mission. You don't need his lies. Because love tonight could be your worst bad decision. He ain't never gonna give you what you're looking for.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, a little Queen and Aerosmith at the end there, man. It's really influenced by those bands.
You know what? So I didn't relate to you what I. So I've worked in radio for the last 20 years of my life.
Right.
You know, on mostly rock stations, classic rock, alternative rock. So. But in every one of the buildings I worked at, there was a top 40 station.
Yeah.
Here is my initial, as a program director, DJ guy who gets in new music all the time. That song, if it isn't a hit, I don't know what the hell is. Two,
I'll take it.
I really feel that it transcends multiple genres. That can be on a top 40 station. That can be an alternative rock station. It can be on a rock station. I'm not sure you're going to make country, but you know, that is, it's really, really good is what I'm getting at. And
oh, thanks.
Thank you, Manny. That is good stuff.
I'll take it. Yeah. And, it was a lot of fun creating it, man.
And I really regretted right when I said I was going to put it in rotation before hearing it, but I didn't want to say that on the podcast out loud after I said it. But now that I've heard it, whew, I'm all good, baby. I'm going to put that son of a bitch in rotation and
awesome.
It's going to play and I'm going to forget about it. And it'll probably pay for a couple of years until I decide to redo the set list on there.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you guys dug it. That's the only thing that I can get out of all this. That's, you know, and again, I created it. And my job as a creator is just to create stuff and let the world decide it. I don't care what people feel about it or if they like it or not. I just want to create something that's true to me, man. Just expose it to the world.
Absolutely. But it certainly doesn't hurt when it's good.
Right, right. It okay. does. I hear you.
Take
hear
it. You. Take the accolades, man. Take it.
I will take it, brother. Thank you.
How does
you don't have to twist my arm, bro.
How does the daughter feel? Does she realize that daddy's a rock star, or is it just daddy's a normal guy who has a cool job? How's that?
You know, it's funny, man. She is so I don't know, man. That's an amazing question. And it's difficult because sometimes I'll be sitting there with my wife. I'm like, does she even know like what I do? Or she's like, yeah, you know, she knows you sing a little bit, you know, she thinks a little bit, I guess because she's afraid that I don't want to pull her into this world. Cause she's afraid that I'm going to put her on camera or put her on a podcast, or put right. her in the vocal booth. So she kind of like evades the conversation, but I think deep down inside, I know she's proud. It's probably not her thing, you know, because she's more into the medicinal side of the world. She wants to be a doctor or a veterinarian. She wants to help people. But right now she's in that girl phase where, yeah, daddy doesn't matter. I don't care how big he is, as long as he keeps paying for my volleyball classes. That's right. The stage that she's in.
And, you know? My cell phone bill, right?
Right. Exactly. That's it. But I think she is fully aware of what I do, and she appreciates, you know, the hardships that I've gone through and the amount of work. Because when she comes downstairs, because obviously my kids is homeschooled, and my wife does all the homeschooling from here as well. So they see me when I'm at the table or I'm down here, and I'm fully invested in the time. And she gets it, though. She really gets it. And that's why she doesn't approach me as much as I would like her to, but I completely get it. And I don't right. take umbrage to her distance. Yeah.
Man. Well, give her time, man. It'll be happening soon. We were talking with Stormy Warren a couple of weeks ago about he's got two sons, and his one son doesn't give a crap. He's like, just feed me and I'll live here forever. The other son is in college, and he hasn't used his dad's celebrity for him, but his son's friends are starting to use it. So he'll come out and be like, man. Dad, my friends want tickets. So he's using it that way. So there's still time, Manny. There's still time. She's only a freshman. Well,
her friends always inquire more than she does. And she's like, oh, it's just my dad, please. You know, it's almost like he gets annoyed. Right. Right. She does. She kind of take it. I don't know if she gets annoyed, but she's like, all right, guys. Cause then she starts thinking, well, maybe my friends are using me for that. And I'm like, no, don't even mention that daddy's a singer. They know who I used to go to her grammar school and we had rallies and I was there for their summits and all the teachers like, hey, this is your dad. And she's like, oh, you know, so that's the way it was, you know? But then again, my niece, Lydia, totally the opposite. She brags about me. She wants to go into acting, wants to go into music. Dad, you know, Uncle Manny, when can I go into your vocal booth? So it depends on it depends on the personality of the child, you know, and I'm cool with that. It doesn't matter if she doesn't like, as long as she does something that she's happy with, I'm good with that. As long as she's, quite frankly, I don't want her going into the entertainment industry.
Oh, I understand that.
You know, so that I don't want her regretting anything, but you know, all kidding aside, of course, I just want her to be happy.
Hey, heart surgeon, veterinarian, gold medalist volleyball player. That works pretty god darn well.
That's a real rock star. That's a real rock star. Dude, I hold a microphone and just, you know, sing.
You mentioned earlier that you almost went into professional baseball.
Yeah.
Who's your MLB team, man? And this is my cringeworthy question.
Cringeworthy?
Yeah, it's cringeworthy because it all depends on the answer.
Well, my dad raised me as a Yankee fan. It is what it is, but I appreciate baseball.
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a Red Sox fan. I'm a Dodger fan. So, you know, if I grew up in the 40s and 50s and it was Brooklyn, we might have problems. But no, you know, that's...
Listen, Brooklyn was a big deal back in the day. You know, Brooklyn. Yeah. Noir in there.
Hey, well, but, you know, you heard it here first, April 13th. Yankees-Dodgers is the World Series this year.
Yeah,
that's a safe bet. That is a safe bet.
It's a scary thing, man. I always get disappointed. You know, it's like that scene in Fever Pitch with the grandfather's in the car with you. And he's like, and he's looking through the book and the grandfather's like, listen, kid, be careful. They'll break your heart. Mm-hmm.
I know how it is. My heart finally didn't break last year. And there's a stupid asterisk on the season.
Congratulations. You crushed it, man. And anything but the Astros. I hate cheaters.
Oh, there's
I don't care how you do it.
We can agree on.
Yeah. First of all, come on, bro. You know how many kids you're influencing? Seriously? It just boggles me. You're making that much money. First of all, baseball and sports and music is supposed to be fun. If you got to cheat to have fun, dude, you shouldn't even be playing. I'm sorry, man. With all the money that you're making and the facilities, and it's not congruent to my way of thinking. It's not congruent at all. It's really not. I loathe that. I really, really do. It's a big, big pet peeve. Don't like cheaters.
I would agree 100%. And don't ever be sorry for making that statement. No, Nick's not the hugest sports guy, though, are you?
Nick, smart. I'm a Giants fan. So, I mean, I spent my summers in San Francisco with my grandparents. So,
my family's from San Francisco, and I'm not a Giant fan. I don't even know how that works.
Niners, Giants. That's, you know, that's, those are my teams.
I know about losing. I'm, well, look at me, you know, tattoos, nails painted. I'm a Raiders fan. I can't root for anybody else.
Raider, baby. Raiders. You're a member of the nation? I wish I had known this right off the bat. You and I are now best friends. I'm inviting you. I got tickets. Kansas City, Oakland, in Vegas. They're letting everyone in. I might have to send you an invite.
I still got my Todd Christensen shirt. Are you kidding me?
Rest in peace.
The Plunkett days. Yeah, all those guys. Yeah, man. So
I was at the game where Bo Jackson was injured with my dad.
Wow. Yeah, man. So you're there. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The Plunkett days, baby. Yeah. Those were the good days. The days that we would
Cliff
actually
Branch.
Win. Yeah. Yeah.
Freaking, oh man. Marcus Allen was my. Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, I don't even talk about that because I don't want to start crying.
We're going to go another hour now. Just talking Raiders. So if you can use your influence in any form or fashion, I actually mentioned this to our manager last night.
Yeah.
I need Derek Carr on this show. That man is such a role model, an amazing father. I keep reaching out. I send him tweets. I send him Facebook messages. I'm starting to kind of look like I'm begging, and I just want him to realize. And we're definitely not a psycho. Well, when it comes to being in the stands on Sunday and you hear screaming from the house, maybe. But I just really, you know, he's one of those. That's one of my unicorns that, you know, that I want to get on this show.
You know what? You got to manifest it, brother. You got to think that you're definitely going to get him.
Oh, it's going to happen.
I mean. Yeah, of course it is.
I've already met him multiple times. My son looks up to him. I had a like VIP media training camp for the last 6 years. Last year was the first year where I couldn't get to go because of COVID. And my son, I have pictures of him in multiple years growing up with Derek Carr over the past few years.
And I'll
document it on video. It's just, that's one of those proud daddy moments. He didn't realize when he was 4 what was happening. But at 7 and 8, he's like, oh, Dad, this is really cool. That's Derek Carr and the rest of the team. But, you know, he was all about Derek Carr. But, okay, enough Raider
talk. Of course. No. You get this. And my friend Megan, she was on season 6 of The Voice. We're like best friends. She's like, oh, yeah, the stadium's right up the street. I'm going to sing the national anthem. I'm like, oh, what? You know? So she's like, yeah, when you come down here and visit, I'm supposed to go down there sometime in May. So, you know, I'm just at least going to touch the stadium with my hand. You know,
yeah. No one's really been in it yet. And thankfully this season, they're talking like they know I even heard a rumor that they're going to fill it up 100% this year. But
I hope so, man. We need some normalcy back. I'm tired of being here. Although, yeah, it's been a productive year, but, you know, I need a little bit of normalcy, you know.
Speaking of which, beautiful segue. I talk with my hands a lot. Can you tell? Are you touring? Are you putting on any shows? Is there anything in the future for a Manny Cabo show?
Yeah, man. I've got the Cutting Room. We're doing a live performance here in New York City. I've got a couple of live performances, some private performances. So we're still waiting to get confirmation on those. But as of right now, for the fall, I'll be touring with the Wizards of Winter. So I'm really excited about it. It's like 13 dates. You know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but, you know, knock on wood, that's why we really need to get back to normal.
Yeah.
Because we musicians, I'm not happy unless I'm on stage. So we got to get back.
I look forward to it. I hope there's a West Coast one, or heck, we'll meet up in Vegas during football season.
Oh, are you kidding me? that would be amazing.
Oh.
And you get to the podcast on the road during football season is what you're saying.
We need to post up in Vegas September through December. Okay.
We need to do a dad cast right from the actual parking lot with our Raider jersey, Darth Vader mask, roadcaster.
Manny, I think we can manifest that better. We put a table on the 50 friggin' yard line inside.
There you go. You know, they'll just let us do it. They're like, those guys are crazy. We're just going to let them because they're going to fit right in. You know, the Raider Nation and the black hole needs people. They need more people like this.
Ten minutes later, we're on the news. But yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you're friends with Brian, and right? So, I mean, that would be a good little reunion, Vegas, to you guys together. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
And before we run out of time, I know you're going. The answer is going to be yes to this already. I'm assuming, but we've planted the seed with a couple previous guests. I'd like to plant the seed with you as well, if you have time, of course. I want to do a very quick, probably 20-30 minute episode for Father's Day special edition. I'm going to bring all
100%.
I'm going to bring back all my guests. We're going to have like 35 boxes on this screen, and we're just going to wish Happy Father's Day to each other and to all the dads out there. And I would be honored if you would take a part in that.
Ah, dude, I would love that. That would be amazing. I'd be honored to be on here. Of course. Spread the love, man. Spread the love. I'm in.
Yeah. Cool. All right. That's three.
No doubt.
I've only asked two, so figure that one out.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right.
There's going to be a lot more.
You guys don't count, though.
We don't count. Nick, you got anything, brother, before we got to say goodbye to Mr. Cabo?
Adam Levine. Let's circle back to Adam Levine.
I knew you were going to. Nick's a big fan.
I've got a weird
Let me guess. He's married too. He's married too. Is that what it is? Is his advice? His wife is talking to him. Is that what it is?
No, I think I like Adam Levine more than my wife, which is really sad.
Whoa, Danielle, did you hear that?
Yeah, she'll hear it later.
All right, I'll get my couch ready, Nick.
Yes.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's great.
So what about Adam Levine, Nick?
Yeah. So, you know him, hit him up. Hey, the dads want to talk to you.
Oh, you are doing the name drop portion of the show.
Name dropping. I got no problems with name drop. Listen, if I could help any show, believe me, I could reach out by all means. You know, it's funny, but it doesn't matter how successful you are on these shows. You could win it because, you know, I'm good friends with the winner of our season, and he's doing very, very well. But you lose ties with these coaches because everything is hyped up for TV. You got to remember that when we're on the show, you know, they're doing their own thing. They're writing their endorsement checks and all that stuff. But when we're there, you know, it's all about us. It's engaging with the contestants, which is, you know, that's the way it should be, you know. But aside, any relationships on the exterior side of The Voice, that doesn't usually happen unless, of course, I'm making zillions, you know, with my own individual career. So, but I will be more than happy to reach out and be like, I got a great friend of mine who would love to have you on the show. You never know. You got to ask. What's the worst?
That's exactly. So, you know, tenacious Nick. Tenacious Nick.
Man, I love it.
Sorry. I have a confession to make. I don't.
Yeah, man.
I only recently saw your voice, you know, I actually saw your pinned post on Facebook, and that's when I went, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. I never really watched the show. Who is your coach?
Dude, I didn't watch it either. Don't worry about it, man. It's all good. I didn't watch it when I was on there.
Well, you were on it, man. Who was your coach?
Adam Levine.
And so it was Adam Levine. Okay.
It was Adam.
See, my lady did more research on it this morning. She's like, Adam Levine, you got to talk to him.
What's your wife's name?
Her name is Jen.
Jen, thank you so much for supporting the Manny Cabo Manny Pack.
Appreciate it. There it is. All right. And that pretty much does it for our time today on Dadcast. I want to thank, of course, my co-host, Nick Martin, for saying a lot more today than normal. I appreciate that, Nick.
That's great.
It's a running shtick. If I don't give Nick crap at least 75% of the show, I'm not doing my job right. It's our thing.
That's right.
And of course, what I really, truly, personally feel you as a guest on this episode was by far one of the best, if not the best guest we've had on this episode yet, man.
Oh, dude, thank you, man.
Insightful, your participation, man. When I don't have to talk much, it makes my day so much better. So thank you so much, everyone.
You're welcome, brother. You're welcome. Thanks for having me, man. Seriously. Here's the next one for you. Ready? So then you know what's really me. And I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises with the songs of yesterday. And I've made up my mind, I ain't wasting no more time. But here I go again. There it is.
I was waiting for the end, though, where he goes up. Here I go. There
you go.
There it is. Everyone, Manny Cabo, Super Dad, and Rockstar. Thank you very much. And of course, as always, we end the show with a...
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Dadcast.
We'll see you all next week. Thank you, Manny.
Take care, guys. Much love and peace.
This episode has been brought to you by our amazing sponsors, Anchor Valley Wine, Boneyard Elixir, Red Robin, America's Gourmet Burgers and Spirits, Happy Dragon, Mongolian Barbecue, Chris Barnett of Barnett Group at Realty Executives, and JL Insurance.